Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, you'll have to forgive me. You can hear I'm a little hoarse. It's the allergy season in New York, and I'm vulnerable. I would also like to thank your former ambassador and the president of the Inter-American Development Bank, Luis Moreno, for being here. And Madam Ambassador, thank you, all the ministers, members of the Colombian government, business communities, and society. I'd also like to say, Mr. President, I'm grateful that perhaps my oldest friend in the world, my first chief of staff, and my special envoy to the Americas, Mac McLarty, is here with me tonight. I thank him for coming. It's an honor for me to be here and to accept this award. And I note, of course, that the award is being given to me in the aftermath of my recent trip to Colombia for the 80th birthday of Gabriel Garcia Marquez and the 40th anniversary of 100 Years of Solitude and the 25th anniversary of his Nobel Prize, but also against the backdrop of the debate going on now in Washington about the trade issue and the other issues that people have expressed concerns about. You heard the president say that there's work to be done. As long as any teacher, any labor organizer, any human rights worker is killed unjustly, it's a travesty. But I read very often and hear very often politics discussed now with a different view. Perhaps it's because I can't run for anything anymore. But I think it's important that we not, first that we get the facts right, and then that the facts be seen in terms of the larger context and the direction in which, in this case, Colombia is going. Let us not forget, I want to say this to the Americans who will hear about this. In 2000, when we passed Plan Colombia with this broad bipartisan support, we did it because under your predecessor, Colombia was the oldest democracy in Latin America, was an ally of the United States in a fight against narco trafficking and in many other ways, and was facing a situation that, as far as I know, was faced by no other stable democracy on earth. One third of the landmass of Colombia was under the control of narco traffickers, or their guerrilla supporters, or the paramilitaries that had organized in reaction. All three of them did things that were illegal, murderous, and terrible. No one denies this, but it's very important to remember how all this got started. Your predecessor lost a member of his family to the violence. Your father was killed by the violence. All these people who want to say things about the violence, they need to know that there's about a 50% chance that anybody they're giving a lecture to has had someone in his or her direct family who has been murdered or kidnapped or someone very close to them. As you know, as you saw in the photographs there, I became very close to the children of Vallenato, and I loved to see them and hear them. And there was a picture of me at the airport there. That was June the 27th, 2002, when you had been elected, but you were not yet inaugurated. And the children gave me a Colombian welcome bracelet, which I still wear, coming up on 5 years. And so in a couple of weeks, it'll be 5 years. I do that to remind myself that those children were introduced to me by a culture minister who herself was murdered in the violence of Colombia. So those of us who are trying to help, and those of us who want continued progress, owe it to our friends in Colombia to know what they have been through and to express a little humility in the face of people who have already lost so much and who are working so hard to build a better tomorrow. Since you've been in office, Mr. President, the violence is down and the economy is up. And frankly, I like it that you gave me credit for the tourism, but I think the violence being down and the economy being up has a whole lot more to do with your tourism than anything that I have said. I say that because we're having a debate in Washington about our trade policy generally. All rich countries are having to face the fact that the global economy is a mixed blessing for them as well as for developing countries. Half the world's people are still living on less than $2 a day. And almost no trade agreement will help them unless it's accompanied by better social policies. In the rich countries, many, many in the world are finding that the median wages, the ones in the middle, remain fixed and stagnant no matter how much growth they have. In the last 6 years, that's what's happened in America. We've had 6 years of economic growth, flat wages, more people falling below the poverty line while working. So a lot of this trade debate, you have to see in that context, has nothing to do with the details of what is going on here. We are trying to figure out what mix of policies will enable America to reach out to the rest of the world, be a good neighbor, be an economic partner, and grow and go forward together. That is a riddle we have to solve. And we are looking for it. Just as in Colombia, your priorities are security, growth, and your social mission. That's what we all are trying to deal with. So as this unfolds, I think the only thing I would say is we need to remember that we're friends. We need to remember that we want to share a common future. We need to remember that for the first time in over 3 decades, there is a law enforcement presence representing the elected government of Colombia in every municipality in the entire country for the first time in more than 30 years. We need to remember just what has been done. And then we need to be honest about the ongoing problems and figure out how to do better. That is the nature of politics. Our founders in the United States gave us an interesting mission. They said our eternal mission is to form a more perfect union. Now, when they said that in the late 1700s, in English it meant precisely this: we will never be perfect, but we can always be better than we are. The only way friends can stay friends is if they keep deepening their friendship. So let us work together. Let us make our union more perfect. Let us honor the sacrifices of all the people who have died, the innocents in Colombia, of the people still kidnapped that you're trying to get released, Mr. President, including 3 Americans, Ingrid Betancourt, who's a dual citizen, and your Colombian citizens. Thank you for the courage in releasing those FARC prisoners and your efforts to get them released. I appreciate that. Let's continue our dialogue with the Congress. Let's just work through all these issues. But let's do it in a spirit of conviction that we have a common future and of absolute support for the fact that our neighbor in Latin America, our oldest democracy neighbor, Colombia, has gone in 7 short years from having 30% of its land in the hands of alien forces to seeing over 40,000 guerrillas and right-wing paramilitaries lay down their arms and rejoin civil society, and every city have a functioning law enforcement unit reflecting a democratically elected government. Let's be grateful for where we've come from as we make a better tomorrow. Thank you, and God bless you all.